In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is a true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to everyone who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was telling you about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.'" From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Jeremy asked me some time back to share what I've been learning from the book of John. And because he knew I was studying it some. And anyway, hopefully you recognize that as the first part of the book of John. And I think that those first 18 verses of John give a good, foundation for the whole book of John. The light coming into the world, the one who is near to the heart of God, coming and revealing God to us. I'm going to read you some verses from the book of John, and by the time I get done, you see if you can tell me what the theme of the book of John is. If you read, just read through the book of John, which I encourage you to do, just read it from chapter 1 the whole way through to the end and see what sticks out. And I think you'll see the same theme coming up again and again. Listen to these verses from the KJV. "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. All right, I'm going to be getting your feedback today. I'm not going to be doing all the talking. From listening to those verses, what would you think the theme of the book of John is?
Life.
Life? Okay. Any other words that stood out to you?
Believe.
Believe. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Jesus himself or me.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, right. Which, yeah, it's Jesus talking in most of these, so... that's right. All right, I wrote that up on the board. Whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life. That's the theme of the book of John. If you read through, you'll see that over and over and over again. And often it talks about eternal life or everlasting life. I think there's about 19 verses in the book of John that mention everlasting life or eternal life. At the end of the book of John, or near the end, John gives his reason for writing, which, again, same thing. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. There again, it's written so that you might believe on Jesus, and so you might have life through Jesus. Okay, so whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life. Let's unpack that a little bit. I wrote three questions down. We have these three key words. We have life, Jesus, and believe. So what is this life that Jesus is bringing to us? It's the first question. Who is Jesus is the second question. And how do we believe in Jesus is the third question. They might all seem pretty basic, but I have some things to, as I was studying John, some light to throw onto those questions. To start with here, I have an allegory, and we'll be coming back to this allegory throughout the sermon. It's a very imperfect allegory, but I think it can help us understand, especially the believing part of this sentence up here. So here we go. Here's the allegory. Suppose you are stuck on the desolate planet Mars. All around you is nothing but red dirt. You want to go to a wonderful life-filled planet called Earth. You have read in a book that a king lives on the earth. This king has filled the earth with stately trees, lush gardens, and beautiful meadows. You have also read that the king of the earth actually made you and wants you to experience life with him. But you have been tragically separated from him and stranded on Mars. You do not have the power or the resources to get to Earth. You don't know where the earth is. You don't even know for sure that the earth exists. The situation seems hopeless, except for the fact that your ancient book from the king of the earth says that he has appointed someone to come rescue you. One day, a man named Elon shows up. He claims that he has been sent from Earth by the king of the earth. He says that he has a contraption called a rocket. He welcomes you to hop a ride with him back to Earth. He insists that he is the only one with the knowledge and power to reconnect you to the king of the earth, the only source of life. He asks that you leave behind everything you value on Mars and come with him. All right, so we're going to refer back to that as we go through and look at these three words, life, Jesus, and believing. So let's start with the first one. What is life? Now I'm going to write up here on the board my answer to that question. And then we're going to dig into it a little deeper. So I'm going to suggest to you today that life is, there's different ways we can say it. Life is a relationship with God. Life is knowing God. A couple different ways that you can say it. I'm just going to write relationship with God, if I can reach that high. If you think about, if you go the whole way back to Genesis and think about the stories there at the beginning of Genesis, God created Adam and Eve, put them in a beautiful garden, and evidently he came and talked face to face with them every day. And so they had this relationship with God where it was just open and free, and they could walk with him, talk with him. And that's what life was like. But God had given them one command. He said, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then in that same day you're going to die, he said. And we know the story. They did disobey God. They did eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they didn't drop over dead physically that day. My wife and I were talking about, since they didn't die right then, was God planning all along that they would die physically, but they just wouldn't die spiritually? I don't know. You can have a discussion about that later. But whatever. God said they were going to die, and they didn't die physically right when they ate the fruit. So it wasn't necessarily physical life exclusively that he was talking about there, obviously. But when they did eat the fruit, something did die. God came walking in the garden that day and said, Adam, where are you? Probably the first time he had to ask that, because probably always before, Adam was ready and waiting for God to come walking in the garden. But here they were hiding from God. Their relationship with God was broken because of their sin. So God sent them out of the garden. He sent them away, and he even went so far as to set up an angel to guard the tree of life. The tree of life is in the garden. He said, I'm going to keep you out of there so you can't go back in and eat of the tree of life and live forever. There's that eternal life thing again. He said he's keeping them from eternal life. Now in John, we have Jesus coming and bringing eternal life. So notice the return back to God's original plan in the garden, where they had eternal life, and then they broke that themselves. So Jesus is the one coming back to restore that eternal life, to restore a relationship with God, make a relationship with God possible. So I was looking at the different words in John that it talks about life, and just gleaning some different thoughts about this life that Jesus is offering. And we won't take the time to look up all the verses, but here are some things that I found. I think it was found, there was like 39 verses in the New Living Translation that had the word life in them. So from those verses, life, this life that Jesus is offering is a spiritual life. It's not a physical life. It's a spiritual kind of life. It is eternal, like I mentioned in about 19 different verses. It is favor with God. It is because of God's forgiveness that we can have this life. It is given by God's Spirit. Talks about being born again, and whatever is born of man is fleshly, but whatever is born of the Spirit is spiritual. This life that Jesus offers is a spiritual life. It is rich and satisfying. King James says, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It is secure. Jesus said that the ones that the Father has given me, no one can pluck them out of my hand. It's a secure life. It is given to those who seek it from Jesus instead of seeking earthly things. I have a couple verses where that is mentioned. The one verse says, don't seek earthly things, but seek the eternal life that God can give you. Something like that. And then we're actually going to turn to these last ones. Life is knowing God, like I already mentioned. So you can turn into John 14, if you want to turn there with me. John 14, 6 and 7. John 14, verses 6 and 7. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you have really known me, you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So Jesus says he's the life, and then he talks about how that life is knowing God. Another one is in chapter 17, verse 3. It says this, 17:3, "This is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you have sent to earth." So pretty plain and clear there. This is life, know God and know Jesus. I like in the in the first verses there that I quoted, talks about we can become children of God. I love that mind picture. Everyone who believed Jesus and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So it's that relationship with God being restored. And we can have eternal life again through Jesus. So that's the life part. That's what life is that John keeps talking about over and over. Let's go on to the next point. Who is Jesus? Now, the definition I wrote, and I'm not going to write the whole thing up here because it's a little bit long. Jesus is the one God appointed to bring us back into relationship with him. Okay, if we go back to the allegory, I forgot to go back with the life part. I remember the life was only on earth. Mars, there was no life. But God was on the earth, and where God is, there's life. When there's God is the only source of life. We have to be in relationship with God to experience life. So anyway, back to that allegory. Who remembers in that allegory, who was the one that God had appointed to come rescue you on Mars? Who remembers his name? Elon, yes. Okay? That's right. So in the real story, in the book of John, Jesus is that person. Jesus is the one that God appointed to come rescue us, those of us that were separated from God. Okay? So I'm just going to write maybe appointed to bring life or something like that. He's the anointed one, one God chose to bring us life and bring us back into a relationship with him. Okay, so I have a bunch of points. John is just full of stuff of who Jesus is, different names for Jesus, different explanations to help us understand who Jesus is and what his work is. So we're going to dig into some of those different aspects of who Jesus is. Jesus himself claimed that he was the Son of God, that he was one with the Father. He says, "I and the Father are one." He claimed to be the anointed one, or the Messiah, that God had said was going to come into the world. But he said that it's not just me. It's not just me saying this. There's a bunch of different witnesses that prove that what I'm saying is true. He's like, I can talk, if I just witness about myself, it doesn't mean much, he said. But there's all these other witnesses that prove that I am actually who I say I am. And so we're going to try to find about 9 of those today. 9 witnesses that Jesus is who he said he is. Let's turn to chapter 5 first. You can turn there with me. John chapter 5. And in here, in this chapter, is the main place where Jesus is listing a bunch of different witnesses that prove that he is God's son, that he is who he says he is. So I'm going to start at verse 16, where Jesus is claiming to be the Son of God, and then a little farther on we'll get to the witnesses. Verse 16 of chapter 5 of John. "So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, 'My Father is working, is always working, and so am I.' So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will be truly astonished. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, those who listen to this message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. I assure you that the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life-giving power to his Son. He has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. All right, so there's a bunch of good verses where Jesus is talking about the life that is in God first and then in him, and he can give to us as well. But here he's claiming to be God's Son in these verses. And let's keep reading and notice what he says next. He says, if I were to testify on my own behalf, my testimony would not be valid. But someone else is also testifying about me. So listen up. And as I go through here, you'll be thinking, what are some different things, proofs or witnesses that Jesus is who he says he is? In fact, verse 33, in fact, you sent investigators to listen to John the Baptist, and his testimony about me was true. Of course, I have no need of human witnesses, but I say these things so you might be saved. John was a burning and shining lamp, and you were excited for a while about his message, but I have a greater witness than John, my teachings and my miracles. The Father gave me these works to accomplish, and they prove that he sent me. The Father who sent me has testified about me himself. You have never heard his voice or seen him face to face, and you do not have his message in your hearts, because you do not believe me, the one he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think they give eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. You refuse to come to me to receive this life. Your approval means nothing to me because I know you don't have God's love within you. For I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have rejected me. Yet if others come in their own name, you gladly welcome them. No wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other, but you don't care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God. Yet it isn't I who will accuse you before the Father. Moses will accuse you. Yes, Moses, in whom you put your hopes. If you really believed Moses, you would believe me, because he wrote about me. But since you don't believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say? All right, so pop them off. What are some witnesses you see in here that prove that Jesus is who he says he is?
Scripture.
Scripture, yes. And I'm going to write these the numbers. I have them on my paper. What else?
The Father.
Good. Scriptures. Father.
The miracles or the works.
Yes. Right, miracles here.
John
the Baptist, that's right. Okay.
His teachings.
good. I just combine that with his miracles and his teachings. Yes, good.
Moses,
yes. All witnesses to Jesus. Are there any more? I think those are the main ones that are given there. Up here I have Jesus' own testimony. Jesus himself said, he said that that doesn't really count by himself if it was just him, but another place. Another place he said that there's two witnesses. He and his father are both witnessing. So he said, you say that if two witnesses agree to something, then it's true. So there's him and there's his father. So his own testimony counts, of course, as well. We have John the Baptist, Jesus' own testimony of who he is. His miracles prove that. Miracles prove that he has God's power. The Father, there's a couple times when the Father actually spoke from heaven and confirmed his Son. At Jesus' baptism, he spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then at Jesus' transfiguration, God again spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Something like that. Okay, and the scriptures pointed forward to Jesus. If you look, I think the book of Matthew probably says more about that, about different scriptures that Jesus fulfilled when he came. And then Moses, it says, also wrote of Jesus. All right, those are some witnesses there from chapter 5. Witnesses that Jesus is who he says he is. Or all different proofs. Let's flip to a few more scriptures and see if we can find some more witnesses or proofs that Jesus is who he says he is. Let's go to chapter 8, verse 28. John 8, 28 says this. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he. I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me." So the fact that Jesus, ahead of time, could predict that he was going to be crucified, and then that actually happened, that proves that he obviously had divine direction. So I'm going to write his crucifixion here. I don't think that's spelled right.
C.
There, that's looking a little better. Notice that I fixed it. Okay. Let's go to another one. So his crucifixion, and then in 14:20. John 14, verse 20. Says, "When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Here Jesus is talking about his resurrection. Now think about that. Who would, if he could beforehand say, "I'm going to die 3 days later, I'm going to rise again," and then that actually happens. He dies and rises again. That's the most powerful proof, I think, that he is who he says he is. The fact that he rose again from the dead. I'm just going to look off my paper this time. Instead of rise. There we go. Okay, and I have one more that I found in the book of John, one more witness to that Jesus is who he said he is, and we're going to find that in 15:26. Across the page here, 15:26. "But I will send the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me." Okay, so here he's talking about sending the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to testify about him. So we'll put the Holy Spirit down here as number 9. All right, so there we have it, 9 witnesses. So if someone asks you, how can you know that Jesus is actually the Son of God, or how can you, why do you believe that? Here are some things you can bring up. if the Bible that we have is actually a historical record, then all these different things point to his, prove that he is God's son. All right, let's keep going. We have a bunch more names for Jesus, a bunch more aspects of who Jesus is. John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So, referring back to the Old Covenant where they sacrificed a lamb to take away sin. Here, John the Baptist is calling Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So he's that one that was sacrificed to take away our sins. Revelation is full of referring to the lamb this, the lamb that. That same name is used in Revelation to refer to Jesus. He's called the Son of Man about 12 times, I think, in John. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. This term, I believe, comes from Daniel 7, 13 and 14, where Daniel's receiving a prophecy or vision, and he sees the Son of Man. The Son of Man is given a kingdom that lasts forever in Daniel's prophecy. So I'm guessing Jesus is referring back to that when he called himself the Son of Man. Another thing he called himself is the I Am. There's a couple of spots, I think, in the book of John where this is mentioned, but the one spot he says, before Abraham was, I am. And back in Exodus 3:14, Moses asked God, "Who should I say, what is your name, so I can tell the Israelites, what is your name?" And God said, "My name, I am that I am. Tell them that I am sent them to you." And then he goes on to say that his name is also Yahweh or Jehovah. But when Jesus uses that same I am, I think he's probably referring back to God's name that he gave for himself, I am. So Jesus is claiming to be the same as God there. Okay, so those are some names. And now I have nine more. I have another list of nine here, names for Jesus. And these are names that start with, Jesus said, "I am dot, dot, dot." So you can be thinking about ones that you know. Names that Jesus called himself. Who can think of one? Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the light." Okay? And you can let me write, give me time to write these up as we go. Number six on my list. Okay, the next one.
Bread of life.
Good. The bread of life. Right?
Light of the world.
Light of the world, yes.
The way, the truth, and the life.
Good. Yep. Can you think of more?
The door.
The door, yes. The door of the sheep. More?
The good shepherd.
Good.
Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
Okay. I'm not sure if that one's mentioned in John, but that's in Revelation for sure.
The vine.
The vine, yes. Sorry, that was supposed to be nine, but anyway, we'll put it here. True vine. Okay, and then the other one isn't quite qualified to be on this list, because Jesus doesn't actually say, "I am the," but he says to his disciples, says, "You call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, for so I am." So I am is in there. I am your Lord and Master. Good. So we got, wait, no, we still missing one.
The Son of God.
Son of God, that's the missing one there. I am the Son of God. There we go. So there are nine different names that Jesus used for himself. He said, I am this, I am that. So we're going to look at those a little bit. I have some handouts here with some of my notes about these nine names that you can maybe help you follow along as we discuss them. So, Elijah, could I get you to, maybe Elijah and Josh, you want to come up here and hand these out for me? Should be about 30 of them, so maybe each you can just take a side and hand those out. While they're handing those out, let's sing a verse of All Hail the Power. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. All right, let's dig into these names a little bit. Let's start with the bread of life, the first one on your list and the first one on the board there. To find that, we can turn to chapter 6 is where Jesus talks about himself as the bread of life. So you can turn there or just follow along in your paper, either way. Chapter 6, and I'm going to read 35 through 40. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of those he has given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. Okay, so there Jesus is talking about himself as the bread of life. Now this is coming on the heels of the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, I believe. And Jesus accuses the people of following him just because he had fed them with physical food. And in verse 27 it says, don't be so concerned about perishable things like foods. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. And then he goes on to refer to himself as the bread of life. So there's a lot of things you could get from that. But on your paper there, I tried to say something about how this name relates to life and also how it relates to believing. So the first part there, Jesus or God, the Holy Spirit, all three of those are mentioned in this, in chapter 6, I believe. They're the only source of life. And Jesus came down from heaven to bring it. So when you hear the bread of life, think of Jesus as the source, the only source of life. Okay, moving on to the second one, the light of the world. And we'll read from chapter 8 now. We'll just be flipping through our Bible here, and we'll read verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. I love that verse. If you follow me, you'll have the light that leads to life. Okay, if you keep reading there in chapter 8, it goes into discussion about truth. If you read some verses here, it says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. So if the Son sets you free, you will be truly free. I love those verses. I think light can be related with truth. God's light came, or God's truth has come to us. through Jesus. So think of the light as God's truth. Okay, on to number three, the door of the sheep. We need to turn to chapter 10 to read about that. I'm just going to read one of the verses here, or a couple of them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come in before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep do not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I love those descriptive words of the life that Jesus gives, rich and satisfying. So the door of the sheep, I wrote down, Jesus gives a rich and a satisfying life. I also think Jesus, again, is the only way. He's the only way to God. You have to come in through the door. Now, on to the Good Shepherd. And I don't remember noticing this so much in the story about the Good Shepherd or the discourse about the Good Shepherd. But Jesus says over and over, I'm the Good Shepherd. I came and I sacrificed my life for the sheep. Notice how he says that over and over. If we keep reading in chapter 10, verse 11. I'm the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Notice how it's all about knowing God, knowing Jesus. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. So forth. You jump down to verse 18. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. I have the authority to lay it down and to take it up. Over and over again, Jesus saying, I sacrifice my life for my sheep. So as we think of the Good Shepherd, we could think about following Jesus and being our needs being supplied by him, like a shepherd does. But also, Jesus sacrifices his life for us as our Good Shepherd. The Son of God is the next one. If you go to chapter 10:36, it says this. Why do you call it blasphemy when I say I am the Son of God? After all, the Father set me apart and sent me into the world. Jesus was sent from God to bring us life. Let's go on to number six, the resurrection and the life. And that's in chapter 11 now, next chapter, 36 through 38. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. Oh, wait, that's wrong. Oh, 25 and 26. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? This is in the story of Jesus raising Lazarus to life. And he asked Martha if she believes that anyone who believes in him will never die, or that he'll be raised to life after death. And she said, yes, Lord, I do believe that. Or I've always believed you are the Messiah. Okay, there's the Lord and Master one. Won't take time to flip there, but Jesus is talking with his disciples. This was at the Last Supper, I believe. And this is right before Jesus washed their feet. And he said, after he washed the feet. And he said, you call me Lord and Master, and that's right, I am your Lord and Master. So if I have done this to you as your master, you should do it to each other. So Jesus is the one who gives his life. He gave his life to serve us. He was a servant leader, a servant master. Eight, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only way to life. He is preparing a place for us. Now, that's another thing that stuck out to me a bunch as I just read through the book of John. Jesus talks different times about the resurrection, or God raising us to life at the last day. and he talks at least one or two places about preparing a place for us so that we can go be with the Father. So Jesus is the only way to life and the one that's preparing that place with the Father. Okay, and then the last one I have is the true vine. In chapter 15 is the discussion about Jesus being the true vine. I've been reading a lot. Someone want to read chapter 15, John 15, and let's just read 1 through 8. Someone want to read 15, 1 through 8.
I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples.
Thank you. And we could keep reading there, but all for the sake of time. I love that chapter. You could just go read John 15 and get a lot of the heart of John, I think. Abiding in the vine. I wrote down Jesus' life can be our life. So God is the source of life. Jesus is connected with God, and if we're in Jesus, then we can be also experiencing the life that God has for us. If we continue to abide in Jesus, we can experience his life. Just like if you cut off a branch from a grapevine, well, it's going to die really quickly, right? But as long as it's connected to that vine, it can stay alive, if the vine is alive. Okay, I want to spend some time yet talking about the believing part. When I read John, and over again, it's like, believe on Jesus and be saved. Or it says, whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life. And to me, it's like, it sounds so simple. It's like, believe. And it is simple. I want to look a little bit at what all that believing entails. Is it just saying, sure, yeah, Jesus is the Son of God, and then you're automatically saved because you said that? Or does it include more than that? And so I want to take a little dive into what all it might include to believe in Jesus, or what exactly does that mean to believe in Jesus? So the word believe that is translated believe in our English Bibles, I think almost and maybe every time it's used in John, it comes from the word pistuo. Pistuo, the Greek word pistuo. And here's the Strong's definition of this word, believe. To have faith in, upon, or with respect to a person or thing, that is credit by implication to and trust, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ, is translated as believer, commit to trust, put trust in, or put in trust with. So it gives a couple different aspects of believing there. Have faith, give credit to, and trust your life to something. some things given there. But let's go back to that allegory of you on the planet Mars and Elon coming to rescue you with his rocket and take you back to Earth. What is it going to take for you? You're the guy on the planet Mars. Here's Elon with his rocket saying he can take you back to Earth. What is it going to take for you to get back to Earth? What are some things that you can think of? What will it take for you to get back? What do you need to do to get back to Earth?
Climb that little ladder.
A little ladder that goes up into the rocket. Okay.
Veil yourself.
Good.
Faith that the rocket will go back.
Say what?
Have enough faith that the rocket will make its way back.
Yeah, have faith that his rocket's going to work, yeah.
You said leave all behind.
Leave all behind? Yes.
Trust that he is actually going where you want to go.
Right. What if he heads for Jupiter instead of Earth? Right.
Believe that there is such a place.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you love there on Mars, you got to change your mind about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what you would be loving on Mars, but yeah. Probably Jesus thinks of the same thing, like, what do you love about your life here? It's so much better in heaven, or so much better the life that God offers. Okay, I think you covered pretty well the different things I was thinking of. I just broke that down into to three words. And that's my third point. How do we believe in Jesus? I'm going to write three words up there. I couldn't really think of a different word for the believe part. But I wrote believe, trust, or maybe I should write and trust. I like that thought. And obey. Those are the three things that are going to happen for you to get from Mars to Earth in my allegory. You're going to have to, first of all, believe that Elon is who he says he is. You'll have to believe that he is that he was sent from Earth. And that his rocket can take you back to Earth. You'll have to believe all that. Or you're going to have to believe that before you're going to be willing to hop on that rocket with him. And next thing is that you'll need to entrust your life to him. You'll need to trust that he, like was mentioned, you have to trust him that he's actually going to take you to Earth and not some other place. And you'll just be like signing your life away when you hop into his rocket. You're kind of out of control there. You have to trust him. And the third thing is that you'll have to obey him. You could believe him, say, yep, I'm pretty sure you're right, Elon. You're probably from the Earth. I'm pretty sure your rocket could take me there. But if you don't obey him, if you never let everything behind and hop into his rocket, you're never going to get back to life either. And so all three of those would need to be there, probably, before you would get back to Earth. I guess you could just obey him probably and not even believe it or trust him. And as long as what he was saying was true, then you get back to Earth. But it's not just saying, yes, I agree with you, Elon. I think you are from Earth. All those things need to be present before you would actually get back to Earth. So I think that's a good definition of our belief in God, too, or belief in Jesus. Not just agreeing with him or saying, yep, I think you're right that you are God's son, but it's entrusting your life to him. It's saying, I trust you. I trust Jesus. Here's my life. Take it. I'm out of control. Take over, Lord. And also obeying what he tells you to do. That is true belief in God. If you think about that, one more thing about that allegory. If it wouldn't be for Elon, you would have absolutely no hope of getting to Earth, right? There's... if you're on Mars, no resources, probably nothing to even build a rocket out of or anything to get you back to Earth. So Elon is your only hope in that case. And it's the same way with Jesus. He's the only one. He's the Messiah, the anointed one, the God one God sent to us, the only one that we can receive life through, receive God's life through. And it also shows that in that faith example, or believing example, it's just like the Christian life. There's nothing you can do to earn God's salvation. There's nothing you can do in that example to get back to Earth. But you can accept God's way of getting back to Earth or to life. Okay, I had a bunch more about that we could have said about what believing means. So you can look on your chart there. And with each one of those names, I said, what does believing mean in this case? You know, Jesus is the bread of life. That means seek that life. Seek the life that Jesus gives. He's the light of the world. So walk in God's light. Jesus says those who reject the light, those are the ones that will be lost. But if we walk in his light, in his truth, we can be saved. Jesus is the door of the sheep, so come to Jesus to be saved. Jesus is the good shepherd. Believing means listening to Jesus, or knowing Jesus, and listening to his voice. He's the Son of God, so believe that he is that one that's anointed by God to save you. He's the resurrection and life. Another word that sticks out a lot in John is glory. Jesus talks about a lot about giving God glory, or how he's going to give God glory and we can give God glory through him. And it mentions that also in the discussion there about the resurrection and the life. When we have faith in God's power, it brings him glory. And one more thing on your Lord and Master. There's a discussion in verse 15 about Jesus saying, he says again, if I, your Lord and Master, have suffered so many things, you're going to suffer as well. You have to be willing to suffer for me. So that could be one more thing that goes along with believing, is be willing to suffer for Jesus as he suffered for you. That goes along with Jesus being our Lord and Master. And then the true vine. Believing means staying connected to Jesus so we can bring God glory by bearing the fruit of obeying his commandments to love each other as he has loved us. All right, you can go and read that about three more times to see if you can. It's kind of a long sentence. But staying connected to Jesus so we can bring God glory by bearing the fruit of obeying his commandment to love each other as he has loved us. All right. So that's my little overview of the book of John. I encourage you to just sit down with the book of John and read it from start to finish. An amazingly inspirational book. I just love how John brings out again and again, whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life. So let's close by quoting John 3:16 together. Let's quote that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to look into the book of John this morning. Thank you so much that you had him write that and kept it recorded for us so we could read it. Thank you for the life that is offered through Jesus. And thank you for Jesus. Lord, help us to believe in Jesus and everything that means. Help us to accept him, to believe what he says is true, to entrust our lives to him and to obey him, that we can experience that eternal life that only you can give, Father, through Jesus. Pray in Jesus' name, amen.